Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
My text today is found in Ephesians 4, verse 14. Paul saying that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now, the sleight of men in this context, according to Bible Knowledge Commentary, is the cunning skill or trickery of people. The word used here is a word meaning a cube or dice, properly means a game at dice. Hence, it means game or gambling. And then anything that turns out by mere chance or haphazard as a game at dice does. It may possibly also denote the trick or fraud that is sometimes used in such games. But it seems rather to denote a man's forming his religious opinions by the throw of a die, or in other words, it describes a man whose opinions seem to be the result of mere chance. Anything like casting a die or like opening the Bible at random to determine a point of duty or doctrine may come under the description of the apostle here and would all be opposed to the true mode that by calm examination of the Bible and by prayer, a man who forms his religious principles by chance can unform them in the same way. And he who has determined his faith by one cast of the die will be likely to throw them into another form by another. End quote. And so coupling this idea with fraudulent behavior, the chance and gambling of deceptive spirits in a man or woman's life, the cunning craftiness and the mention of those that lie in wait to deceive, my subject for a while today is spy games in the halls of darkness. Tricks with the truth, slight variations of biblical facts, subtle distortions of biblical principles. These days, everyone has a new religious thought, it seems. Cultic ideas abound. False doctrines proliferate like nuclear warheads. Access to larger audiences by way of social media gives the gospel both its greatest avenue of end-time exposure, but also its greatest threat of misinformation and twisted doctrines. People are trading dependency on men and women of God who preach the word for internet scholarship that can be achieved by a few search engines. But my friend, knowledge does not dismiss submission to apostolic authority and God-called shepherds. In the book Spies, Lies, and Algorithms, Why U.S. Intelligence Agencies Must Adapt or Fail, by Amy Zegart and Michael Morrell, says, cheap and easy access to new technologies has taken away some of the intelligence-gathering advantages that the United States had over its adversaries. The proliferation of open-source intelligence. I want you to remember that phrase because we're going to use it spiritually. Open-source intelligence, ranging from Google Maps to Twitter, as well as data gathered on private cell phones or with commercial surveillance cameras, enables foreign governments and non-state actors to be better informed than they have ever been. So basically, spies have easier access than ever before. That means, my friend, that deception has many more doors to walk through. And spiritually speaking, deception dice is rolling. Gambling devils are risking it all for one last empire of evil. How many open source opportunities does the enemy have to your soul? Internet windows, social networks, video games, cultural shaping, Hollywood programming, educational books that ever so slightly change the way we feel about certain passages of the Bible. The fires of conviction can be dying out, and the passion of making a stand for what is right is now a casual, comfortable seating with new suggestions. Then if we're not careful, we will sacrifice the supernatural to merely blend in with this world society. We will sacrifice the heritage of holiness for the beggarly elements of this world if we let the spies of darkness creep in and steal from us the powers of the Spirit, the anointing, and the authority of the name of Jesus. And this is not a new battle. Spies of darkness have been around, always been around. Even Jesus had to deal with pretentious, curious Pharisees who covertly tried to catch him in his words, Mark 12:13. That's why the Bible still says, "Know them that labor among you." Because if we're not careful, we will have thrown the doors open to anything and anyone these days, until suddenly they've slithered in and hidden their snake nature till the right moment. They've marched in like a good soldier, wanting to be a part of what we're doing. But all the while, there are sinister forces, because the Bible said we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. And so sometimes the way that wickedness slips through the door is to put on a mask, is to act ostentatiously, is to come in as though it is a sincere seeker of God, and yet there is something more sinister at work. In the book Bites, Bombs, and Spies, The Strategic Dimension of Offensive Cyber Operations by Herbert Lynn and Amy Ziegert, they inform us attackers are able to probe for weakness, to disguise their incursions by distributing them broadly, and to choose the time and method of their strikes, end quote. Now, I want you to notice they probe for weaknesses. This is why, in a spiritual sense, spiritually speaking about the spies of darkness that we have to battle with the Word of God, this is why we have to make sound decisions based on the Word of God, upon doctrine, not a fleeting feeling, not a reactionary moment, not when our emotions are raw, because the enemy is probing for our weaknesses. He is a lying, seeking whom he may devour, 1 Peter 5:8, which means he is probing for a faith to destroy, a heart to break, or a broken heart to capitalize on with fear and intimidation, or even feigned compassion. Now, another quote in the book Bites, Bombs, and Spies talks about cyber operations and how these operators can compromise keyboards used to direct the launch of a missile, or they might sabotage the pre-launch checks in a missile's many subsystems. Even after a missile is airborne, it remains vulnerable to hacks. Hackers can target the power supply, monkey with fuel pumps, manipulate fuel pressure, or misdirect nozzles or navigation. They might even hack the missile's telemetry system so that operators on the ground don't realize that the weapon is going off course, end quote. Now think about this spiritually speaking. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, 2 Corinthians 10. But what if we get carnal? What if feelings creep into our spiritual man and into our motives and cause us to battle in bitterness or to fight out of fear or to weaponize our conversations to hurt or get revenge? Then our spiritual weapons get off course, just like the example of these missile weapons in a natural sense, these systems that are getting hacked, and they get off course and end up doing damage maybe to people they're even trying to protect. Let's don't let hackers of hell get in our head. Let's keep our senses and keep a spiritual ability to fight. Now, I know that's easier said than done. We all fight things in the flesh. We all go through moments of vulnerability. But if we're not careful, instead of pulling down strongholds, we may end up demolishing our own minds and motives, even destroying the very things that we're trying to protect, because we end up doing things carnally when we need to do our best to maintain spiritual awareness and understand that how we fight is a spiritual fight. We do more through prayer and fasting. We do more through obedience to the Word of God and submission to the will of God and with the evangelization of the gospel of Jesus Christ than we do by fighting according to secular means. Another quote from this book, Bombs, Bites, and Spies, says, "Missiles are so hard to get right that military engineers often get them wrong, even without clandestine nudging from foreign hackers. For instance, an imperceptible flaw in a fuel line could cause it to fail during launch. A tiny amount of contamination of the fuel supply could achieve the same result. Computers not only control missiles, but also the engineering and manufacturing of their parts. Saboteurs could make minute changes to the sizes of parts used to build the missile. If, for example, the acceptable variance for a part is between 0.999 centimeters and 1.001 centimeter, the hacker could change the acceptable dimension to 1.00 to 1.001. That would allow individual parts to pass inspection but still render the missile inoperable," end quote. Now, apply this spiritually to the spy games of the devil. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11:3, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Subtlety, you see, is the slight difference. It's almost unnoticed. Just a simple variation, like when the serpent beguiled Eve. He just simply rephrased God's very words into a question. Remember, he asked her, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree?" And God had given a command. So he changed it from a command to a question. And that question got Eve to think differently about what was forbidden, and of course, she mistakenly partook of the fruit. Just a tiny amount of contamination was described in messing with the fuel supply of a missile. So sometimes it's just a little bit of sin, just a little leaven, just a moment of weakness to create a new addicted behavior, bondage and shame, just a slight discrepancy with the doctrine. I mean, we'll baptize you any way you want to get baptized, is what some churches are saying. And that seems considerate and kind. Except, my friend, there are no alternatives to baptism. There's only one name. There's only one legitimate baptism according to the Word of God. Acts 4:12 says there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So this is just one example of the many ways that we could allow things to get into our spirit, into our heart, into our minds, even into our doctrines that are just slight variations, just brief discrepancies, just a little bit off. But you get off just a little bit now, and when you get down the road a few miles, you find out you're really off. That's why we have to stay on the straight and narrow. We have to follow after the Spirit. We have to maintain an obedience to the Word of God. We've got to let the Word of God and the principles in the Word of God make decisions for us. We can't make decisions when we're at our weakest moments, or when we've been prayerless, or when we're letting our pride be the lens through which we look at situations. Another quote from this book says, as a former CEO of Cisco System puts it, "There are two types of companies, those who have been breached and those who don't know they've been breached." And of course, this is referring to cyber hacking. Now, think about this again on a spiritual level, maybe even in terms of apostolic churches. If you preach the truth, the spies of darkness have you targeted. They want to render your authority powerless. They want to point out any deficiencies for their benefit of stealing your righteousness and making you look like the infidel. This is the spirit of Cain in the last days that needs to kill any remnant of righteousness in order to be the only remaining standard of what is secularly and even satanically deemed right or wrong. That's why the Bible tells us in 2 Thessalonians 2, "Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." The righteous remnant of apostolic truth in the earth is a hindrance to the agenda of hell. And as long as there is a praying and travailing and interceding church in the world, preaching the word of God, standing in the gap for sinners and the lost, the devil can't do everything that he has on his agenda to accomplish. But my friend, even when all these breaches come, even with all that can take place with the spies of darkness and those that work in the shadows and those that creep in unawares, we know a God that can repair the breaches. Amos 9:11. In another book, Dawn of the Cold War, America's Battle Against Russia, China, and the Rising Global Cyber Threat by John P. Carlin, it tells us about vulnerable areas for Americans. And I quote, "The risks are obvious. Americans shop and save online. The internet controls everything from health records to household appliances. Tens of millions of smartphones track every place users have been. Fitbits and other health devices store troves of personal data." End quote. Now, think about this again. This reveals the point about access. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians 4:27, neither give place to the devil. So don't open the door to unbelief when you're struggling with doubts. Don't let resentment become hatred when you've been unjustly hurt. Don't let the wounds in your life be treated by something more infectious and faith-threatening. So just like there are physical risks right now, even in terms of the internet and online and cyber hacking, they're spiritual hacking. There are spirits of this age that want to discourage, spirits of this age that want to destroy your faith, spirits of this age that want to make you feel so discontented that you don't feel satisfied in the presence of the Lord anymore, and then you start looking for some cheap substitute to take its place. Now, in this same book, another quote says, "A more sophisticated brand of attack is known as spear phishing. The scammers mimic the spelling, logos, and typical language of those they're attempting to imitate." End quote. Now, many of you listening to this today, you probably have dealt with this in some scam email or something similar that has almost tricked you, or maybe it did trick you and you learned your lesson the first time and you will never be tricked by this again, by this deception or manipulation of logos and language again. And so the enemy of our faith, according to the Word of God, transforms himself into an angel of light. So he imitates the name brand, even using love and comfort as a way to seduce people into believing a lie. Because if you have not a love of truth, as spelled out in 2 Thessalonians 2, you're going to have a love for something. And if it's not truth, then the other option is a lie or some form of a lie. And that's why the enemy is working so diligently, my friend, to deceive every believer, to get even the most elect discouraged, dissatisfied, depressed, overwhelmed, distressed to such a dimension where they don't even feel like praying. And then that prayerlessness makes us powerless. But oh, that God would help us to have discernment in this hour, to see the things that are taking place. Because what we know is that light reveals. Darkness keeps secrets. Spies dwell in those secrets. Yet we are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do, Hebrews 4:13. So my friend, you can let a feeling linger out there. Wounded pride, a bruised ego, offended principles, relationship scars, fear interferences, doubt mental blocks, self-hate emotions. But all of these feelings give the spies of darkness access to our deeper affections. It's not an easier casual process. It's difficult. It can be challenging at times, and you can struggle with these emotions and sometimes feel like it doesn't matter how much we even pray and fast, are we even making any progress? But we enact the power of submission that James says gives us the power to resist the devil. You see, submission is like anti-malware software being released into our spiritual system. It can expose things that could be harmful to our personal faith and fruitfulness. It enables our hearts to resist them, kind of like a buildup of antibodies that fights off malicious viruses. Submission, resistance, drawing nigh to God, cleansing, these are all routine elements of our daily faith that keeps spies of darkness out of the inner chambers of our souls. And this is why we have the instruction in James 4 and 7 through 8, submitting ourselves to God, resisting the devil that he'll flee from us, drawing nigh to God so that the Lord draws nigh to us, cleansing our hands and not being sinners, purifying our hearts to not be double-minded. In the book Work Like a Spy, Business Tips from a Former CIA Officer by J.C. Carlson, she mentions that CIA spies use planned, directed conversations that they disguise as casual chats to unearth secrets, end quote. They are disguised as a friend, you see, but they have an agenda of a foe. They act like they have your best interests in mind, but in the end, they use it to build up their own doctrines, their own followers, their own misguided, misinformed biases, the traps of vulnerable heart. And they want to find out what you really believe so that they can use it against you or to corner you into compromise if you want to stay on the job or stay in a particular secular association. And at some point, when the real nature is exposed, you have to choose. It's like Joshua that says, "Choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And in this same book, she says, industrial spies obtain guarded corporate data by legal and illegal tactics and methods, such as dumpster diving, picking through company garbage, electronic surveillance, interviews with former employees, reverse engineering, computer network intrusions, soliciting information from unwitting employees at industry events, planting of mole employees within the company, analysis of a company's web traffic, computer theft, identity theft, fake job applicants, analysis of employee travel patterns, theft by disgruntled employees, internet worms. I mean, the list goes on and on. Now, I want you to think about this again in a spiritual sense. Dumpster diving. Digging through your trash to see what they can use against you. Now, I'm not talking about covering sin. I'm not talking about permissiveness toward ungodly, immoral behavior that one may continue to do. Because when those things are found out, that just brings shame and reproach to the church. But I'm talking about things under the blood, before you were changed by the old rugged cross, before you were delivered by the name, before you were buried in baptism, before you were made a new creation in Christ. The enemy, you see, uses your mistakes to trap you in a new belief system that has to become tolerant of other sins. You've got to get this. Because when God reveals something that's wrong in our lives, he's not trying to destroy us. He's trying to bring us to repentance. God's not willing that any should perish. And if anybody continues in sin, they're going to perish. They're going to lose their promise. They could lose their heritage. They could get so far from holiness, they can't tell the difference between right and wrong. So God wants to bring people to change. He wants to bring people to repentance. However, on the other side, the devil wants to convert you to rebellion. That's the big difference. So the dumpster diving devils are trying to find stuff on you to convert you to rebellion. They're certainly not trying to get you to change. And it's more than even just bringing you to shame. It's using that shame and failure in your life to make you a convert to the devil's doctrines, to seducing spirits, to a tolerance culture. So my friend, take to heart Jude 1 and 4, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. There's going to be spies of darkness. There's going to be devils that lurk in the shadows. There's going to be spy games in the halls of darkness. But if you'll keep your faith in God and trust in the Word, you will endure to the end in Jesus' name.
Spread the word. Hi, this is Lori Hood speaking on behalf of my husband, Danny Hood, for thejesusmessage.org. If you enjoyed today's message and wanted to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.org. At The Jesus Message, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much more. Our speaker has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God in His timing to do what you never thought possible. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcame tragic and traumatic and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. In this book, my husband visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible in contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath, in a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly soul-stirring, inspirational books today. Also, if one of our podcasts has ministered to you or given you some light in a dark time, or if you have a specific prayer you would like for us to pray about, please let us know by sending an email on our contact page of thejesusmessage.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Have a wonderful, blessed day.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to the Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about the Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.